when I did a Larry King program a few years ago, and Susan Clancy was on it, I said at the beginning, I said, you know, Larry, there are two basic groups of people who are sort of interested in the subject, pay attention. And I said, one is the objective skeptic, and the other are the true believers. And I said, I'm an objective skeptic because I don't know whether something happened until I look into it, until I do some investigating. But I said, Clancy is a true believer because she knows in advance, knows that it could not have happened. That's her belief. She believes that as firmly as the Pope believes in the resurrection. And she looked a little startled when I said that. But these people are only producing a theory from that they can come up with, which accounts for a certain kind of possible abduction, a nighttime abduction in one's sleep. But we have all these dozens of abductions. When you think about the first two, the Betty and Barney Hill case and the Pascagoula case, those two cases involve two people each time, and they're wide awake, and they're validating each other's sightings. And actually, Hexton and Parker went to the police and reported it that night. Well, what does that have to do with sleep paralysis? Yet they sort of nod to each other like, oh, well, of course, that's sleep paralysis, even though there were four people in a car and it was going 80 miles an hour when this happened. It was sleep paralysis.
Were you prepared for just the whole experience of ufology and debunkers? I mean, did you have any idea what it was going to be like? Because you jump into this and you suddenly realize there are people on the other side that wouldn't believe this no matter what evidence they were presented, and they will do anything to discredit you and your cases.
Well, that became clear as time went on. But, of course, again, George, you have to realize I was looking into this sort of one foot in front of the other. I didn't know where we were going or what was going to turn up or what the phenomenon was really about and so on. I had to learn this slowly as I uncovered the data. And I was very aware because of all the debunking that had taken place before, as I mentioned, the Robertson case officially trying to get the whole thing ridiculed. I was aware of that, and I realized I was going to catch a lot of flack. And, of course, one of the things is to remember is that there were many in the UFO field who were doing investigations who did not want to deal with abductions, or they did not want to take abductions seriously. It was too scary. It was too weird. So I had my own I was sort of fighting on the right flank and the left flank.
At what point do you, how many hundreds of cases are you into this thing where you realize this experience is not good? I mean, obviously it's traumatic for the people who are telling you these stories, but where you start to piece together sort of an overarching theory about what these visitors want, these intruders, what they're up to, and come to the conclusion that it is not necessarily in our best interest, that the propaganda that they relate to some of the people during these experiences about you need to save the planet is all advertising.
Yeah, well, that's that became clear. I think the they're here to save the planet and so forth. That was so much a kind of residue of the contactee fads of the late 50s and early 60s, and that had been, as far as I'm concerned, pretty well demolished at that point. It was pretty much obviously wishful thinking on the part of the people who were saying these things. It got a revival later, and actually my friend and colleague John Mack wanted to kind of revive that idea that they're here to help us. But the problem is, even though we don't know what the ultimate goal is, we do know this for sure, that people who are taken go through trauma, and that trauma is very, very dangerous for psychological health and stability. And if this starts, as I believe it does, in childhood, even sometimes in infancy, that the same person is picked again and again as if they're an object of study, And you grow up as a little child knowing that people are coming through the walls and taking you, and you're afraid you're never going to be taken back, and then your mother and father tell you that you just have a vivid imagination and so on, so you can't even really confide in your own parents. I mean, in a way, the damage that all of this causes, as far as I'm concerned, invalidates any idea that this is some sort of benevolent mission that the aliens are acting out.
Of course, you go on a number of different interview programs and have done more than you could probably count at this point. In your book, you give a quick synopsis of some of the interviewers and what the experience was like. You just give me a quick reaction, and I'll give you the name, Charlie Rose.
Well, Charlie Rose was very supercilious and very unpleasant, as far as I'm concerned.
Didn't like the topic?
No, he really thought it was just ridiculous.
And even Brian Gumbel?
Brian Gumbel was terrific. I did the Today Show, and he was extremely well prepared with questions. We had discussed things before I was on the program with him. I thought he was extremely fair.
Oprah?
Oprah was sort of, I thought, a little out of her depth. She didn't quite know how to handle this. And one of the things about the program, I had a woman, an abductee from Canada, it was really quite wonderful, on the program with me. But she had class on the program. And class, of course, had this bizarre idea. I mean, the idea was like a weapon he was trying to throw around, that anybody who reported an abduction was reporting a false crime to whoever they reported it to, since abductions don't exist, and alien abductions, and abductions according to our law is against the law. Therefore, they're facing some kind of charge for having falsely made an accusation to the police, and it was absolutely the craziest thing I ever heard, because some of these people, like Hickson, went to the police immediately. I mean, they were reporting these things. And Glass's point was, because many people don't report this to the police, it's just because they know about the law and they're afraid to. So on the program, Oprah, I handed him a letter that I'd written to the FBI when I sent a copy of my book and Intruders, and explained to the FBI that I had a list of many people who were willing to report and discuss their abductions with the FBI if they were interested. And I think class was a little flabbergasted. But the battle between the two of us, I think, kind of got outside Oprah's control. She didn't quite know how to handle things. But she seemed fair.
Matt Lauer.
Matt Lauer, I don't remember very well. To tell you the truth, I didn't remember at all, but I had done so many interview shows. And one of the young men who was working on a film, a documentary on my work and the work of Leslie Kane, these are the people, their company is Breakthrough Films. They just did one on a wonderful film on Joan Rivers, of all things. But one of them said to me, in reviewing some of the tapes that he had of me being interviewed, he said, do you remember being interviewed by Matt Lauer? And I said, no, I don't remember. And he evidently interviewed me when he was not the major figure that he has become. So I don't remember much about him at all.
You've done a bunch of shows with Larry King, and it seems like he's got a UFO show once a month these days. But
yeah, King is very interested in it. But he also, if he is a skeptic on the show, like Shostak or whatever his name is, who he likes, he will sort of kowtow to the skeptic, but in general, he's been very supportive, and I feel he's on the right side here.